Those Two Girls on Hit 105.
Yes, the Hornets stop.
Oh, Sarah, I have been waiting all morning to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
The Battle of Brisbane last night. So exciting. I know everybody watched it. It was, except you, Sarah.
Yeah.
New welterweight champion of the world, Jeff Horn. He's our Brizzy boy from Alcester. You know, people are starting to talk about, should there be a Jeff Horn public holiday? I say yes to that. I just think that this David and Goliath story, it has just captured so many people's hearts. In fact, I think people left, right and centre are wanting to draw links to how they know Jeff Horn because
everybody
wants a piece of
him. Right? There's 3 degrees of separation. It's not even 6 in this city. Everyone knows everyone. Do you have a Jeff Horn connection?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that my husband, Dane, played footy at Suncorp Stadium. Therefore, we are inextricably linked and pretty much related. You, Sarah?
Sure. Okay. So we're going really tenuous.
I
used to live at Sunnybank Hills, which is a bordering suburb at Alcester, and that is where Jeff lives now. Boom. Yes.
Well,
practically neighbours.
You know, his second cousin is in fact Lord Mayor Graham Quirk, and he's given his cousin a ticker tape parade
and
on Thursday.
He went to,
which is I don't know. That's a bit
of nepotism.
Little bit of nepotism. Let's go to callers. Reagan from Logan Home. How do you know the Hornet?
I know the Hornet. I've known him since I was 12 years old. I've always looked up to him as, you know, as a massive role model. And it's true what everyone says, you know, he's just a top bloke. And, you know, I've known him through boxing. Just a 10 out of 10 bloke.
Oh, wow. So hang on. So how did you know him since you were 12?
I was sort of just through training and just as a sparring partner.
So
sort of through
sparring partner. Jeff Horn's sparring
You're
partner.
Pretty much Manny Pacquiao.
No,
but
no,
not.
No.
You're from Logan Home. That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm famous just talking to you. Andy from Acacia Ridge. How do you know Jeff Horn?
Jeff Horn is the next-door neighbour of one of my employees.
Boom! Yes! That's what we want. These are the tenuous links we want to hear, Brisbane.
But Andy, have you met Jeff?
I haven't, but a funny story is he had to help Jeff Horn fix his lawnmower, so even the world champ has trouble starting a lawnmower.
He's only human. He's only human. I mean, he may
That just
go,
makes me like him even more.
He may go 12 rounds in a boxing ring, but, you know,
needs a hand with a whippersnipper.
Okay,
Fraser from Stretton, how do you know Jeff Horn?
My cousin's marrying his little brother, Ben.
No way.
Yeah.
So are you
cool.
going?
Like, he comes to like, he comes to our family events and stuff. He's like really nice.
Fraser?
I know, like he gave me like a jumper once, like a Hornet jumper, and I like hung it up. I was like, yeah, sweet as.
Are you going to sell it?
No way, I'm keeping that. That's mine.
Please,
no,
just because you
that.
Tried to sell your pond flowers on Gumtree, you cannot ask people to sell their Hornet sweaters.
Where are the moths?
No, like,
Fraser,
yeah.
have you been telling people this story of how you know Jeff? Have you been just
like
spruiking that all weekend?
I try not to, but like people have been asking me, I'm like, yeah, I know Jeff.
Yeah, I love how you're like, I try not to. You're not trying at all. You are like out loud and proud going, I know Jeff. I'm going to his little brother's wedding.
Yeah. People are going to know about it today. I'm going to tell everyone. Yeah, I'm excited.
And at family events, do people just come up and be like, hey, Jeff, and then like just like punch, you know, like little eggy noogie eggs and punches?
Yeah,
do
like,
you do that with
main,
Jeff?
The main one who's bad for that is my dad, eh?
Yeah, dads are bad at all of that.
Like, yeah,
that's like the best dad
like
joke ever, just going up and boxing on with Jeff Horn, isn't it?
You know, Sarah, this is what I love about a fight like this. Whether you're into boxing or not, this story is just about showing people it's okay to dream. He's done this for us. Hornet!
I love
I'm
Brisbane.
I'm so into it.
Those Two Girls on Hit 105.
Last Friday, I picked Remy up from vacation care. You and I were here at work. I had to pop him in vacation care. Now, he didn't know that it was a sewing day. Poor little... but I knew it was, but I was like, too bad. That's just the way it goes. So anyway, dropped him off. When I picked him up that afternoon around 4:30, He was really happy with how the day had been, and he'd made a number of things, one of which was this lovely little bright orange drawstring bag that he said, "Mum, I made this for you."
That's
okay, can you
good.
See it? It's pretty good. It's felt, it's orange felt, very neat drawstring
done
at
a,
the
done
top,
a simple,
really beautiful.
Simple blanket stitch down the bottom.
Okay,
no. I don't know if that's right.
Anyway, hand stitched, beautiful. I turn the bag to the front, Sarah.
Mm.
And before me is a diagram in black Nikko. He's also written his name. It says Remy, the top. Now, he's 7.5, for those of you who don't know the stories about my son. And on the front in Nikko is what can only be described as four little fingers folded down with the middle finger standing up. It's basically, it's a picture of someone giving me the ups is what it is. So I've looked at it and gone, my face has changed as a mother's face would. And I've gone, what is this, Remy? And he's looked at me, hasn't even skipped a beat and gone, a boat? That is not a boat. I was not born yesterday. Is that a drawing of someone giving me the ups? And he's like, yeah, it is. So at this point, inside.
Why did you do that, though?
Okay, so I've just, inside, I was dying laughing. I was like, this is gold. I'm going to keep this forever. But the maternal side of me had to say, honey, why are you drawing pictures of the middle finger? And he said, Mum, I did it for you. I know you've got a big 2 weeks of work coming up. This bag was made in your defence so that when people at work peeve you off, they put money in the bag and you can say up yours to them.
So this is
made for me.
When saying people, did he mean when Sarah peeves you off?
Probably.
Well,
so
hang on,
there's cash
a,
up,
I think,
girlfriend.
I think Stav Abbey Matt left some money here.
I mean, this is...
I'm getting in advance.
Thank you.
There
Thank
it is.
You.
There's a whole
Thank you.
$1.20.
This is a forever bag. Thank you, Remy.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
The Voice finale was on last night,
Katie
Sarah.
Katie was there.
Yeah, she certainly was. Well, we'll get to all of that a little bit later on. But for now, you know how much I love anything vintage. So we chatted to this guy.
Of course, Alfie Curie, that's his new single, If They Only Knew, which is available right now, iTunes, wherever you get your music.
So let's throw back, Sarah, to last year's winner of The Voice. He's a protege of Delta Goodrum. You know, I love me some D. He's an architect. He's a ridiculously good-looking human. And he's an all-round good guy. It's Alfie Arcuri. We've got him on the line. Alfie, how the hell are you?
I am very well, thank you. My crown is gone, but I'm still good. I'm well.
Oh, that's a bit depressing, yeah.
Good. So speaking of your crown being gone at the moment, how did it feel watching the finale last night? Because that was you this time last year, you know, picking streamers and confetti out of your face.
I know. Look, it's a bit sad and surreal because I kind of floated through the competition, like forgetting that I was actually on TV. And to actually see it again, it kind of, I think I was able to absorb it a little bit more and realize that I actually did the same thing. So it was pretty surreal to watch it back. Because when you're in the show, you don't actually, you don't really watch it. Like, you're in it. So it doesn't feel like you're on a TV show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, no, I don't know what you mean because I've never been on a singing reality show and
but
I can't
we'll
sing to save my life.
We'll trust your judgment of that.
Now, Alfie, you've had a massive 12 months. In fact, you've just released a brand new single. It's called If They Only Knew, and we read somewhere that you described it as musical therapy, and there's a great story behind it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, it's funny. The song actually came about from a little tea party that I had with Kate Sobrano, which is funny. I was in Melbourne and
he's a name dropper.
A friend of mine introduced me to her. Yeah, I'm a name. This one's important because without that tea, I probably wouldn't have, she kind of inspired me to write that song. And I got introduced to her by my mate, Jez. And anyway, I was telling her the story about my first relationship, how, you know, we were together for a couple of years. I'd just come out. He was not out. And, you know, he kind of got a bit of confidence because he saw how my family supported me, and his family, unfortunately, didn't react the same way. And we, you know, we weren't allowed to be together anymore, and our relationship sort of, well, it suffered. And I wrote the song because I never met his parents, and I kind of wanted to write
to them to tell them how innocent our relationship was and how beautiful our love was. And if they only knew that, we'd probably still be together. So I pretty much explained this to Kate, and she was like, darling, you have to go and write that song. And I did. I went and wrote it, and then it was the first song that I wrote. And I never really thought it'd be released because it was, like, it was really personal, and you know, it's a big pop ballad, and yeah, it was interesting seeing it on the show because I know his parents watched the show, and it was my chance of actually telling them, you know, how it all, because I was in love with their son, like he was my first love, and he was the love of my life, and it was a really hard time for me. So to be able to put that into words, it was quite bittersweet.
Yeah, right.
And to perform it on national TV, you know, especially because it's like a song about a guy. Like I said on the show, like you, there's not many people or artists singing about other guys, like gay guys,
yeah.
really. And I was very, like that was something that I felt really strongly about because I grew up singing along to guys' songs about girls and girls' songs about guys. And some people say to me, you know, it's a bit risky singing about a guy. But I'm like, well, I am gay and I love guys, so I'm going to sing about guys. And, you know, like, and it feels so awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah, well, we're really proud of you. And love is love. Love is love.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Sarah, last week I took myself off to the doctor, mostly for a general checkup because I hadn't been feeling well for a while, just like regular winter cold stuff. Feeling run down, nothing really out of the usual, but I took the opportunity to do a full checkup. So full bloods, thyroid check, the works, right? And as part of that whole process, I guess, the doctor had asked me if I, how often I do breast checks on myself, like self breast checks. And then, of course, she did a proper one at the doctor's surgery. And it kind of got me thinking, if I'm really honest with myself, you know, they say you're supposed to do these self-checks every month. I'm not doing it that much at all. In fact, I think if I'm really, really true about this, I probably only ever do it when I'm at the doctor. Like,
well, so I mean, you and me both. I last had a thorough one when I had my pap smear. That was back in February. And then I might occasionally have a general feel in the shower, but I don't really know how to do it properly.
Because I think you meant to
set. Do you know
set
what to do?
I have mixed messages about it. I think you're meant to do it in a circular motion, starting in, working your way out, and then going under your armpit or something.
I thought there was something about a number three where you're like under the armpit, then in, then out. Oh,
okay,
I'm not sure.
And see, this is the thing. I'm feeling inadequate about how often I'm doing this. Yeah. I do feel bad because
a family history?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, my grandmother had a mastectomy.
Wow.
So I feel that I should be doing it a lot more. I'm not doing it enough. I don't really know how to do it. And I kind of feel like I need a solid reminder. Like when you go in the car, when you get in the car, right, you put your seatbelt on, it's automatic.
Yes. It's a bit like when you have a baby and the doctors say, you know, do your Kegel muscles, your pelvic floor muscles at every red light or what have you. But if you did that with breast checks, that could get a little bit awkward at red lights.
It could. So, I mean, I wanted to know, like, if you have a reminder, do you like set a calendar reminder on your iPhone? Do you do anything? Because I want some tips.
No, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm guessing there's people who are much more diligent than us. What could be one? You know how I love puns.
I know you love a pun. Here we go.
Whenever a Justin Bieber song comes on, think Booba. And
we
do play him a lot.
Okay, I like it. I just want to get better at this. I feel like it's the universe trying to tell me something. I need to get better at this. And I don't think I'm alone.
Well, maybe let's try and get something happening around this. Because I think if we're like that,
there's going to be
and we're across general things with our health, then there's got to be heaps of other girls in the same boat.
I mean, I usually leave the checks to Dane,
to be honest.
He's a lucky husband.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Earlier in the show, Lise was talking about how she went to get a women's health check at her GP.
Yep.
And her GP asked her how often she checks her breasts. And you said,
well, I admittedly very rarely at home because I just never get around to it. It's just one of those things where I know you're supposed to check it in the shower maybe once a month, I think, but it just never happens, Sarah. And I put it to you.
Yeah.
And you said
Pretty much the same thing. I just rely on my GP to do it when I have my annual pap smear, and then I might have like a quick sort of muddle around in the shower occasionally, but there's nothing regular to it.
And I think there's something in this. In fact, we've just gone and hoiked a doctor off the street because we need some professional advice. She is, of course, Dr. Devani Amarotunga, a gynecologist and fertility specialist here in Brizzy. We also went to high school together at Brigidine.
And look at you two at opposite ends of this success spectrum.
Yes, I know. Dr. Dev and then just Lee's on the bloody radio. But Dev, how are you? Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Were you just like delivering a baby or inseminating someone?
Yeah, you know, just the usual Monday
but
morning.
But you've got your priorities straight, which
that's
is great.
Right. Left everyone.
Tell them you'll be back in 10.
Now, Dev, we're figuring that as a women's health expert, you are abreast of everything. Oh. Do you like that?
Oh, stop.
No, so but in all seriousness, we just kind of feel, just from this morning's chatting alone, that Sarah and I, and probably a lot of women here in Brisbane, aren't doing self-breast checks correctly, or we just don't know
Not even prioritising it. I just think it needs to be personally on my radar to do, but I don't know how to do it.
So is this a common thing?
Yeah, so I guess that's true. Lots of women don't really know how to check their own breasts. And, you know, as you know, breast checks aren't a screening per se. Mammograms are the screening programs in Australia. But it's really important to know what your own breasts look like and to notice any changes. Because we know about 15% of breast cancer diagnoses don't come from mammograms. It's actually because of a lump that's been detected.
Right.
And about 30% are in between mammograms. So it is actually quite important to know what your own breasts feel and look like.
So I've never had a mammogram though. How old do you have to? I thought there was an age. It was like 50 to get a mammogram or something.
Yeah, so Breastscreen Australia offers mammograms free for over 40 years old.
But it's close for you, Lisa.
Oh, shut up, Sarah.
But I think the target is over 50 because, you know, breast changes make it more easier to detect on mammograms after 50. And these are screening, so women with not high risk. Of course, you've got a family history or anything else
So that essentially means that under the age of 40, the only reliable way of detecting anything is self-breast checks.
Or physician, or like if your doctor checks it. So it's really, and you know, the whole premise is that if you find something small early, you have a much better survival rate and much more treatment options that are available for you. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But only about 50% of women, studies have shown, actually do breast checks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
I've had a couple of breast cysts before and they were evident because they were so painful.
Yes.
So that was very easy for me to go off to the doctor and get all that sorted out. But with other lumps, they're not painful, or they can be lower in the breast tissue, right? And doesn't every woman have different breast tissue?
Yes, absolutely. And different from left to right as well.
Right,
so it's important, as long as you know what your breasts are normally, I guess that's the key. And you're right, Sarah, you may not get anything painful. You may get something painful, but more things are, you know, any lumpiness in general, changes in shape or size, any changes in the nipple or discharge or changing like colour. So all of those things are looked at in a breast check.
So how young should women, girls be doing that? Because if you're talking about getting familiar with your boobies, that's essentially what this is about, right?
Yeah.
Knowing them so well that if something's awry, you're all over it.
Well, you're never too young, really.
Really?
Yep. No, you should know what your body is like. And it's easier said than done because amidst the 50 other thousand things we do. And
so do you think Lise and I are in the same boat as a lot of women?
Yeah, like, I do.
How many women do you reckon do it regularly?
Yeah, but only about half.
Right.
Studies have shown, actually, only about half do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how often should we be checking at home and how do we do it?
Yeah. So Sarah is at the moment keeping her top off.
Here we go. I'm ready. Can I claim this on Medicare?
She's as prude as they come. So that's a lie, everybody. She's not removing her top.
About once a month, we say. Okay. And, you know, you can put a reminder on your phone. There are actually apps that remind yourself. And also they go through changes that you should look for and things and
so
quite informative.
Do we check at the same time every month?
Yeah, so
because
just after your period.
Your breasts can change during the month too.
It's so complicated.
I know,
but,
honestly.
You know, any check is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I thought, we were talking earlier, is it like a circle motion that you do or something about under the armpit, like in the shape of a three? Did I make that up?
No, you're right.
Okay.
You're good. So in generally using the pads of your first three fingers.
Okay.
And then in a circular motion, but in a, you know, in a uniform way so that you don't miss spots. And yes, right up to your end. I can okay. show you, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should be shown. In fact, I think
you should be showing people how to do it. And I just wonder if there's something in this, Lise, because if we're in this boat and there's 50% of other women who are in the same thing, if we spoke to our producers and got something off the ground, would you be willing to be involved?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I reckon there's something in this, guys.
Yeah, too.
It's all, you know, promotion of women's health, and it's really important. So, yeah.
And for the blokes listening as well, I mean, is there's something in that too, right? Like men should be, I mean, I know they're like hands up for breast checks. Like they're like, pick me. But I think there's an important message there as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess it's the same thing to know your own body. And the proportion of men who get breast cancer very low, only about, you know, just under 150 per annum.
Yeah.
Whereas there's probably about 17,000 new breast cancer diagnosis per year for women. So one in nine women will be diagnosed with breast cancer.
So, yeah, and I've got a history of breast cancer in the family. Yeah, so I think we should, let's talk to the producers. Let's get Dr. Dev back so she can, you know, amaze us with how intelligent she is and make me feel bad about myself all over again. It's like year 12.
Well, look, we're
all over again.
All right, leave it with us. Thanks so much for coming in, Dr. Dev. We're going to see you again.
Boobs.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
You're a nerd.
You're a nerd.
It's time for Nerdy McNerd Nerd.
You're a nerd.
With Sarah. Rightio. Now, I think I have to explain this segment because, I mean, we do it every Saturday morning, but now that we're filling in.
Oh, yeah, I took it with me.
Yes, well, I didn't have a choice in the matter. This is a segment, guys, where Sarah explains common words, phrases, sayings in the English language that we've all heard of a million times, but we don't actually know the background.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you a bit of a background on this. Sarah loves this segment so hard and I'm not always so sure about it, but anyway, go for
it. Well, my challenge is to make Lise respect it.
it's going to be hard.
Lise, what does the phrase, you've been caught red-handed, mean?
Well, when you've just been caught in the act.
Yes.
Right?
So do you know how you'd be caught red-handed?
No, Sarah, I do not.
Great, please. Excellent. Well, I do.
This is your job. This is your one segment.
That's right.
Where you're meant
it
to tell me.
It was actually a law. A law, right, that if someone butchered an animal that didn't belong to him or her.
This is way back in the day. This isn't like last week.
Way back in the day. No. That he had to be caught with the animal's blood on his hands to be convicted.
Mm.
I mean, how tricky is that? Like, you could have a goat slung up outside the front of your little settler's house. Knives all around it. But as long as you didn't have blood on your hands, home and hosed.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll give it a C.
Well, maybe you'll eat some humble pie after this one.
The segues are killing me. Okay, humble pie. Is that's just like when you need to like take yourself down a notch, right? Or when you've proven otherwise. I don't even know. Go tell me.
Correct. I'll give you a B.
Give me the origins.
So this is from during the Middle Ages, the Lord of the Manor would hold a feast after hunting.
Okay.
Right? So they'd hunt their deer, whatever, and he would get the best cut of the meat. But those people lower in social standing would get a pie.
Yum!
Filled with all the innards.
Not yum.
And they were known as the umbles. So umble pie was actually humiliating because it informed everyone at the party of their social standing.
So when you innards are called
umbles? Umbles. Umbles. Yep.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, give me a grade.
I'm going to go a B minus.
Oh, I thought that was a solid B plus.
I like that because I think that's going to be good water cooler chat today.
Yeah, it's really interesting. How about rub the wrong way? If you rub someone the wrong way.
You do that to me all the time.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
That actually comes from colonial times in America when, you know, fancy folks would ask their servants to scrub the oak floorboards the right way. And if they did it the wrong way, which was not to use a dry cloth after the wet cloth, it would streak and ruin the floorboards and make the owner annoyed. I mean, I hate it when my servants don't clean my floorboards the right way.
Rub
it the wrong way.
Rub
them up the wrong way. So they'd ruin it.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that downward this inflection is, look, didn't
Brizzy,
sound that much.
Brizzy, get used to it. You've got 2 weeks of
Nerdy McNerd. Yes!
Sarah's as happy as a pig in mud. Can you get that sorted
yes,
for
I'll
tomorrow?
I'll write that down for tomorrow.
I want the origins of that.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
It's time for those two girls. Big, awesome quiz thing. Because they're like quizzes. Yeah. Let's do a quiz.
We're going to do this every morning at 8, guys. This is your quiz.
Okay.
I don't even know what's going on.
No.
Well, I've got the questions, and it's you two, like, battling each other. You've got to see who can get it the most questions right.
Okay.
That's how the quiz works.
Okay, bring it on.
Bring
okay.
it.
Okay, so the rules that I just got handed by
Sarah's
our producer,
puffing on
Ben.
A puffer. Why? You're not running a marathon. That was on the
it
Gold
could
Coast.
Be, though.
In my brain, I am.
It could be. The rules I've just been handed say that the person to have the first shot at each question is the oldest player.
Oh well, that's just rude,
well,
producers. That
that's
would be
Lee's,
me.
Isn't it?
By like 5 months, settle down, everybody.
By 8 months.
Question one.
Go, Scotty.
Jeff Horn is the new WBO welterweight champion. Which Queensland politician is his second cousin?
Oh, what? I know everything else about Jeff Horn. Everything else I know. Is his second cousin. Sarah, stop tapping your pen. Okay, I'm going to go. Oh.
I need an answer.
Okay.
Can you buzz
I'm going to go Pauline Hanson. Oh.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Oh. Lazy up again.
Campbell Newman.
Anna Bly.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's the Lord Mayor of Brisbane.
Graham Quirk. Woo!
Yes.
There you go. Sarah, question number two.
Champion.
Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kanye, and Kim are feuding at the moment, but who has won the most Grammys? Collectively between them, they've won 64.
Really?
Yeah. As couples?
No, but individually. Individually, who has won the most Grammys? Okay.
So I get first dibs on answering this, right?
No, that's not what the rules say. Oh. The rules say the oldest person goes
oh.
first.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm going to say Beyonce. Yes! Oh. Woo! That was totally
we're
a fluke.
One all.
Okay, so this is it. This is the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Final question. Oldest person gets to go first. Remember,
run
that's how we're playing. Who is it? Sorry?
Please.
Okay.
Yes. Three.
Question
Sarah's
number
winner.
Three. Judy Kelly won The Voice last night. How many seasons of The Voice Australia has there been?
I know this. 8,752. That's how many times The Voice has been on in my mind.
5.
No way. I'm going to go 9.
4.
6. Yes!
Let's never play this quiz thing again.
Don't worry, it'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant. Cannot wait.
That's what happens when you're old. You know stuff, Sarah.
Oh, well.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
Hi, everyone. We're talking on 131060. Is your cat ruining your life? This is off the back of a story that Lise and I found about a bloke who discovered an unusually high water bill that was actually due to his rogue little feline jumping up on the toot and pressing the flush button several times a day. And he caught the cat red-handed. We've actually got some audio.
Is that for real?
For real. That was...
This
do you know
cat...
if you say gullible really slowly, it sounds like orange?
Stop it.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Cats do ruin lives. And I'm going to tell you a story, Sarah. When I was growing up, we had our family cat called Indy, right? Now, Indy was a sight for sore eyes. Indy was a solid 12 kilo. He was an albino cat. He had skin cancer, unfortunately. So he had a very pinkish red nose. He also didn't have a tail because we had to get it cut off. And he didn't have ears.
Wait. Are you
so
sure
he was
this,
earless.
Are you sure this is a cat?
Yes.
And not some kind of underground mole? Because no. That's what I'm picturing.
No. Well, he looked a bit like an otter. He was terrifying. And Indy
this
was...
This isn't like that article where the family tried to... The mother said she was adopting a dog and it was actually a coyote. This isn't that kind of a cat,
no,
in inverted
no.
commas.
Indy was a vision, an absolute vision from the depths of hell. But we loved him. But he was like... he had these crazy eyes, right? At come nighttime, he would sit on the end of my sister's bed and he'd get this look about him. And my sister Fred would just go, oh, God, he's looking at me. Oh, God. And she'd try and get up. And this one night she got up and she turned around to try and make a swift exit. And the whole thing happened in slow motion. I was watching from the door. Indy lunged, put both paws around my sister's bum and just took a big bite out of it, just like an apple in, like, Snow White. It was like, and it was just hanging off her rear and it was awesome. He's just like devil cat.
We had a cat too called Bugsy. He was a Devon Rex. So one of those hairless, wrinkly cats. He was always filthy and sweaty and he was more dog than cat. And he would wait in... You know, he would hide, and then as we would go up the stairs, he'd just come bolting like Usain Bolt up and try and trip us up the stairs. He was
Jarvis
evil.
Jarvis from Kashmir. How is your cat ruining your life?
Basically, my cat, it just throws up hairballs everywhere. they blend into the carpet. It's so annoying. And we just stand on it. It gets stuck in our shoes and our feet. Gross. It's wet as well.
Oh, Jarvis, you paint quite the picture.
I think you could have called for triggered with that too. Just a bit of,
Harmony from Harvey Bay, how's your cat ruining your life?
Hi. Well, it's not my cat. It's my friend's cat.
Yeah.
I went to her place and I was staying with her for a couple of days. And when she went to work, her cat's so big and so scary, and I've seen the scars all up my mate's leg, that when it's, like, in the doorway and I'm in the room, I won't walk past it. I'll just stay in the room as long as I need to until it leaves when my friend gets home.
Is it like a rare bobcat in Harvey Bay? Like a lynx that's just
Harvey,
in your
what's
friend's
the cat's
house?
Name?
It's only, like, 6 kilos and it's all hair, but I say it's lies. It's massive.
It's massive. It's like a cat bouncer. They are. They're terrifying, terrifying things. Can I hear that audio again, Scotty? Of the cat flushing it.
One more time, one more time.
I want to hear it again.
Oh, cats. Cats, cats, cats. They ruin lives. No, we like them. We really do.
Do we?
Oh, I've got to have a toilet break now.
Okay, thanks for that, Sarah.
Those two girls on Hit 105.
I'm angry.
Lisa and Sarah's.
I have never been this angry in my entire life.
Triggered.
Yes, we like to have a little segment called Triggered. So 131060, Brizzy, we offer you a safe place to unleash the small things that have annoyed you or given you the irrits in recent
times.
Yeah,
just lay it on us. Lots of things annoy us.
I was on a roll there.
Sorry, I know, but you were so nice about it.
Okay.
Like, this is like, get in there. Tell us what has just gotten your goat. Here's some of our favourites.
Sending text messages to somebody and they don't even bother to reply to me.
Triggered.
People who walk in the right-hand side of escalators.
Triggered.
Oh, we've had some good ones. Sarah, what's triggered you this week?
Well, of late, one example comes to mind. I was going to sit down at a cafe with my little 3.5-year-old and we spotted an empty table, and as we made our way towards it, another lady saw the empty table, looked up at me, actually looked into my eyes, and then just hot-footed it to the table.
Triggered.
I wanted Remy's up yours bag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure you did. Did you death Sarah?
No, I was just like, oh, if it says more about you than of me, take the table. Take the table.
So passive aggressive. I love it. 131060, guys, we're taking your calls next. Do you want to hear my triggered?
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you anyway. Okay, it's another drive-thru episode.
Oh
I'm
God.
Sorry.
What?
I know it happens a lot, and I know I'm in the drive-thru a lot. I don't know what it says about my lifestyle
of late. I think of the 18 triggered segments we've done, 16 of yours have been in drive-thrus.
Okay, so the other day I was in the drive-thru and I was fanging for some hot chips, right? Fanging. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I could taste them before I ordered them. Ordered them, got them, no chicken salt.
Triggered.
None. Oh, what is the point?
It burns.
What is the point? I want it to fill my arteries. I want lots of it. Had to drive-thru again.
Did you really?
Yes,
okay,
Sarah.
I'm triggered by that level of triggered.
Triggered.
Guys, 13, 10, 60, we're taking your triggered calls. That's the little things that give you the irrits. We want to hear from them. Sarah's got another one because she's an angry, angry lady.
I got a lot of fire in my belly. Yeah, I was at Woolies doing the grocery shop.
Yep.
And someone took a full trolley load into the express lane.
Triggered.
I mean, what do you do in that situation?
I think that was me.
No, I wasn't in Aldi. If I was in Aldi, it would have been you.
Sue. We have Sue from Ansted. Sue, what's your triggered?
Oh, goodness me. I spend extra money to go through the tunnels to get somewhere fast, and I get stuck behind someone doing 70 in the 80 zone.
Oh,
oh,
good.
Oh man.
Did you show them Remy's up yours bag? I should replicate them. I should sell
you
them
should.
To Brisbane. I think I'm onto a money-making venture
here. Yeah,
put a
Hit 105 logo onto it. I think we can get the execs across this.
Okay, Kat from East Brisbane, what have you got for us for Triggered today?
Oh, good morning, girls.
Hey,
on the weekend, I managed to get a hold of Crash Bandicoot, which has just come out, the remastered version. It's been sold out everywhere. And I was so excited to play it, but I went home and my partner ended up playing it all weekend and I didn't even get one go.
Triggered.
Oh, it's just selfish. I love Crash Bandicoot.
I don't know what you're talking about. I thought it was some kind of roadkill.
Well, it kind of is. Love that game. Okay, we have Ebony from Australia. She's kept abroad.
I just don't want you to get too specific, okay? Just like South Pacific would even be good.
Below the equator. What have you got for us?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your trigger? Hi. What's triggered you?
When McDonald's forget your sweet and sour sauce with your nuggets.
Triggered.
Oh, is there a soul sister on the line,
she's a
Liz?
Woman after my own heart.
A little bit of drive-through triggered behaviour happening through the masses as well.
I'm
it's
picking
not just
up what you're putting down 100%. Isn't it it's just the worst.
I know, and you already feel rude enough as it is saying, is my sweet and sour in there?
Well,
no,
it's in the packet. Yeah. I threw it in the bag and then you leave and it's not in there.
Ebony, it's not a misplaced question. Look, it's necessary. I'm with you. You've got to ask it because then it's disappointment.
You're both divas. You're both drive-through divas.
Not okay without sweet and sour sauce.
Nothing's okay without sweet and sour sauce or chicken salt. That's triggered, Sarah. We're going to be doing that tomorrow again.
I've got nothing else to say.
Those two girls on Hit 105.